Hey, gang, do you find yourself listening to your music on one app and then listening to your podcast on another app? If you do, stop this insane behavior right now and download Spotify. Spotify is home to all of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts. Podcasts including Fly on the Wall, the Saturday Night Live podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, the Rock on Tours podcast with Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt, old favorites like Fresh Air, My Favorite Murder, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Look, if you're looking for a news podcast or sports or entertainment or true crime, look, if you're looking for a sewing podcast or an RV podcast, Spotify has all of this for you. That's Spotify. All of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts in one place. Find it in your app store and start listening today. That's Spotify, music and podcasts. Let's get down. Hey, gang, it's Johnny. I just want to take a second to talk to you guys about engagement. Right now, you're listening to the show, and I'm not sure exactly what platform you're listening to it on. But whatever platform you're listening to it on, you can subscribe to it and get an alert every time a new show drops, usually every Tuesday and every Friday. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Whatever platform you're listening on, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, any platform, you can subscribe to it. And if you can leave a comment, leave a star, share it on your social media, if it's something that you like, please do that. We encourage you to do that. And also, as far as social media goes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. Also, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Please do. Anyway, all I want to say is, you like a show, share it, use the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod. We'll give you a shout out. Thank you so much for listening to the show and engage. Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week so far. You kicked off your new year right, huh? Are you doing your thing? Did you make resolutions is the question. Now, this comes out on January 6th, Friday, January 6th. Have you made it all 6 days? Stick into those resolutions. That's the big question. Have I? No, I said this year I'm switching it around. I'm easing into my resolution. See what I'm saying? I'm not gonna peak too early. You know, I'm not gonna peak by like the 10th. I'm like off my diet. I'm not exercising. Me, I'm barely exercising at the beginning of the year. Still eating a little wrong. But hopefully by the 10th or 11th, I'll be in a zone that I can be proud of. See what I'm saying? I'm easing into it. I'm not just jumping in, peaking too soon, and then falling out of it. That's what I'm trying to do. I was supposed to be playing a gig tonight with Skyrocket in Houston, but that gig got canceled or delayed or moved or postponed. They had a family emergency. We were actually rehearsing on Wednesday in the middle of rehearsal and working on some songs for the show. Very excited about it. Some special requests. And then all of a sudden the message came through while we were rehearsing the most important song of the thing. And it was weird. And everyone was like, oh, well, now we don't have a gig this week. Man, so weird, man. It seems like over the last, year, it's just been, like, weird cancellations and, like, all this stuff. I guess maybe it does have something to do with COVID. Maybe it's still going on. I saw that there's a new variant. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing. It's just, I'm either going to laugh or I'm going to cry, you know? This is my business, baby. My business revolves around a lot of people getting in one room together and me and my band entertaining them. So this has got to become safe again so that we can do this. I don't want to be singing to my phone in my studio. I mean, I'll do it. Actually, do you guys still watch the live streams? I see some people are still doing live streams. I was thinking maybe I should jump back on the live stream business. Have you guys been following the Speaker of the House thing? Sorry, not to get political out of the blue, but it is pretty insane. You know what I kind of think of it as? And I know this sounds weird because it is coming from like the Freedom Caucus that's holding up the thing. I'm doing this on Thursday. By this time, there have been 6 votes. Nobody's been elected Speaker of the House. That's weird. Hasn't happened in 100 years. You've heard all that stuff. But it's being held up mostly by this Freedom Caucus. Okay, Freedom Caucus is these new young far right people that are big Trump supporters, election deniers, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. They're all part of this movement. They're saying that it's an altruistic move and all this stuff. I don't really believe that. I mean, you might believe that, and I'm not challenging you and saying it's wrong. But I will say this, okay? And I think that we can all agree on this. This is the Trump chemtrail. You know what I mean? He went through real fast. He went through 4 years. Joom, he's in. Joom, he's gone. But now that he made it okay for people to use chaos as a strategy to get their way. Chaos as a strategy to get their way. Now, you might disagree with that, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you're stupid or you're doing this or you're that. I just feel like that's opened the door for certain people to go ahead and use chaos as a strategy to get their way. And that's what I think, that's what I feel is going on right now. I saw an interview with Lauren Boebert, and there were some things that she said that seemed very logical, but at the same time, I don't think this movement is truly altruistic. I believe that they are people that want to get their way and realize that they can throw some kind of insane fit, stop the whole machine from moving to get their way. I hope it doesn't work on that level for them. Yeah, that's right. You know, and a lot of you are sitting there going like, oh man, I know, this is driving me nuts. I think I'm going to move to Canada. I mean, I don't want to move from the United States. I love the United States. I love United States. My family come from Cuba, moved to United States. So that's why, that's even why I'm here. So I love the United States. I'm not saying it's wrong, but some people do want to move to Canada, which is my segue into, gang, I have a great show for you guys today. That's right. It is a band from Canada. They're called Villages. They're a Celtic Canadian folk band. That's right. They are from Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, Canada. I speak to cousins Matt and Travis Ellis from the band Villages. Their brand new album, Dark Island, it drops on February 17th. But their first single, Love Will Live On, which you'll hear in a little bit on the show, is available now wherever it is that you stream and download music. This album is fantastic. You know, they play Celtic music that respects their heritage while still taking chances and moving things into a new direction. I got vibes of like Teenage Fan Club, Belle and Sebastian, this kind of thing. They definitely don't sound American. You know what I mean? Anyway, I have a great conversation with Matt and Travis. They're really entertaining guys, very sweet dudes. You can find these guys at thebandvillages.com. Thebandvillages.com. Their album, Dark Island, comes out February 17th on Sonic Records. It was produced by Juno-winning composer Joshua Van Tassel. Fantastic conversation with these dudes. Really, really sweet dudes. Of course, Canadian people are known for their niceness. These guys live up to that sort of expectation. So without further ado, from the Canadian folk band Villages, this is Matt and Travis Ellis. Let's get down.
It calls out to me now. Through the fog somehow. I'm too poor to be buying this rent. There's nobody but you. You said I feel the same way.
I just pushed record, so keep your political opinions to yourself. I'm just joking. How do you say the name of the island you're on?
Cape Breton Island.
Breton. Okay, I didn't know if it was a long E or eh.
Oh, yeah.
Travis, what do you do in the band?
I play guitar and bass synth and write. Like, we all write together.
Okay. Matt, you sing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a great voice. I got to tell you, like, I got your, I get stuff from the publicist, right? And then I usually have like one day a week where I listen to it all. And I have all these different ways of listening to stuff because if I focus too hard on it, I'm not going to like it. And if I'm in a bad mood, I don't listen to it because I'm going to hate everything. So I just kind of put it on while I'm doing shit around my house. And if it catches me, Then I come back and I go, who is this? And so, man, your record, you guys are really, you're taking, I mean, it's all in your bios and shit, but when you're just listening to you, you are really unique. Like, there is so much coming into these songs that are based in like a folk music, but then you take them all these different directions. Like, how does everybody bring some kind of flavor to the songwriting process?
For sure.
Go ahead, Matt. Can you expand on that?
That's my answer. Yes, sir. yeah, man. I don't know. I'm proud to try. It seems like you're leaning back to lean in.
No. You go.
Oh, man. Yeah, y'all take this. I don't know, man. I guess it's just we all obviously have similar musical interests, but also different, and like the different things are what makes it interesting. I think like if a song is written with like big, like say like British Isle folk inspiration, there can be, you can take that and then other people in the band will be like, well, what if we like kind of attacked it this way with like, say like an indie rock approach or something.
Yeah. Like we started performing, like when we were kids, like we're, three of us are cousins and the fourth guy, Archie, is like a longtime friend. And we kind of started, we were mostly inspired by indie rock. And we played in a band called Martine for a long time. And that was very indie rock focused. But then like we're from this island called Cape Breton Island, which is like very, very, it's like a Celtic hub. Like you'd think like Scotland or Ireland would be like one of the main places for, you know, that Celtic music comes out of, but it's actually this very small island, above Nova Scotia where it's really happening. And we kind of avoided that style. You know, it's like everywhere we go is, you know, fiddle music. And we kind of avoided that growing up. And then when we moved away from Cape Breton, we kind of got a better perspective on, you know, where we came from. And so I think we're kind of bringing all these influences, you know, that range from like indie rock to British folk to Celtic music.
When you say indie rock, what were the bands like?
We were definitely influenced by like, we moved to Halifax because that was like, we were very influenced by like bands like Sloan and Thrush Hermit and the Super Friends, which was like in the 90s, it was called like, you know, the Canadian Seattle basically. So we were like definitely inspired by those bands. And then, you know, there's also like, you know, the Strokes were a big one for us. Interpol, you know, I think you're from Austin. So like Spoon is even like a big influence.
Yeah.
Starting out for sure. Yeah.
There's when you guys were talking about, sorry, I forgot to turn off my air conditioner, so I have to keep on muting myself so I don't have a horrible like sound. Will you give me 1 second? I'll turn it off.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, make fun of me while I'm gone.
That was a great answer, Trav. I was just before this started, Johnny was like, should we wait for Trav? Because we were chatting.
I was ready to leave you in the dust, man.
Because my answers would be like, yes, no, yes.
Well, okay, so when you said you moved from Cape Breton, where'd you move to?
To Halifax.
Okay.
Which is like, yeah, it's like the city, and it's like the big city in Nova Scotia. Well, Nova Scotia is like, for, you know, American listeners, it's like the furthest east you can go in Canada without, you know, going to Newfoundland.
Yeah. So, all right. So let me ask you this, because this is something I was thinking about when I was making my coffee about you guys. are you planning a sort of an American campaign, for lack of a better word? Because you have a publicist, you're coming into American podcast people. Are you planning on coming down?
Yeah, would love to. You know, we'd love to bring it down to the States. We haven't had that opportunity yet, unfortunately. We got to play Kansas City back in back in May, like a little showcase there. But yeah, we had definitely like to come down and
for what?
Show what, was, what it's all about.
What was the showcase for?
It was like, it's called Folk Alliance.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They do it here too, I think, don't they?
Oh, do they?
I don't know. It was a smaller version of it because I spoke on a panel.
They might.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Maybe they might do like a little thing at South By or something.
No, it was its own thing, its own standalone.
Oh, was it?
Weekend.
Oh,
cool. Or something. Okay. It wasn't as big as that Big Folk Alliance. Do you guys, what year was that that you played?
Just, it was just this year, earlier this year in May.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet people were blown away by what you guys are doing. Am I wrong? Are there like a bunch of people doing what you guys are doing? And I just heard you guys. And
no, I don't think. Yeah, if we're, I don't think anyone's really doing what we're doing right now. Not to toot our own horn, but it's kind of an original thing.
No, it is. It's there was a song, I can't remember the name of it, but and the record doesn't come out till February. So
right.
So it's kind of pointless to talk about songs people can't hear, but there is a song on there that like you're singing and you've got a real Middle Eastern sort of like is that a characteristic of Celtic music?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's in Spanish music because the Moors invaded Spain or what, you know what I mean? Like there's all these different things. Like, mm-hmm. So why is it in Celtic music? Did the Moors the Moors head up to Ireland or some shit?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know if there's like it stems from like Greek music maybe, or like, I don't know if like maybe there's like a Roman influence that, you know, that went into the British Isles or what?
It's so interesting you're doing is steeped in a tradition, but what I was going to say is that the other element in this song that shall remain unnamed, it has like a real, like a West African drum, like a dude that listened to a lot of world music, but like, doom, gadoom, doom, boom, gadoom, doom,
ba
doom, doom. That thing, like the beat doesn't go doom, bop. It goes gadoom, doom, boom, da-doom. There's like a thing that does that, which is really, it's amazing. It's like whatever that Peter Gabriel So record and the Paul Simon Graceland had it. They had that groove going on in there.
Is it Willow by any chance that you're talking about?
I can't name it. I don't have it in front of me, and I can't.
That's what's coming to my mind too. Sure.
Yeah,
it probably is. I mean, that was the only song with that in it.
It was. I think Paul Simon was definitely an influence on that one for sure.
Oh yeah,
like that song started with like a Boron sample, and then we kind of, you know, started talking about Rhythm of the Saints and things like that. So there's definitely that influence there for sure.
Yeah. Wow. I should be a musicologist.
Good ear, Johnny. Good ear.
Thanks, buddy. So, all right, let's go back. How did you guys form? Obviously your family, but like.
Yeah. I don't, that's a great question, man. I don't know. I guess. Oh, well, there was a high school band in high school that were just like, it was from like the woods, man. Like, you know, like we're from the middle of nowhere. And there was a high school band and they were like writing their own stuff. And they had the greatest band names. They were called like Lunar and Roji Biv. And anyways, it was just a real eye opening thing where you're like, oh, you can write your own music, you know? And so we're like, well, but let's just get guitars and basses and drums and let's do it. But music was always something that, like in our family, like at get-togethers, our aunts would always, it would end up in like a, you know, a sing-along and stuff.
What, like when you say it's a sing-along, what are they singing?
A lot of country.
John Prine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
John Prine is a big one.
Yeah.
John Prine or like, rose colored glasses. Wildwood Flower, Carter Family.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So basically like traditional kind of folk music. More traditional than what you guys are doing. So you guys came up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Living in the middle of nowhere, how did you find music stuff? Like what you guys, you saw a band playing their own original music and that made you want to learn instruments?
Pretty much, yeah. Definitely, like, I think like a band like Nirvana also, like, you know, where you see like these guys who, like Kurt Cobain, wasn't the most amazing guitar player, and it's kind of inspires you to pick up one yourself and try and cobble something together.
Right. It's not like David Bowie where you're like, I can never have one eye that's one color and the other. Like this guy, you know what I mean? Like this guy was made in the Rockstar factory. What do the rest of us do?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's a city guy. Yeah, it was definitely hard for us. I think, when file sharing became a thing, that was a big thing for us. It definitely opened up our eyes to bands like Wilco. Like I remember Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was a big one for us in high school when that came out.
Right. And there's a band that's an Americana band, but has a way of executing their stuff that is completely different than
really anyone. Definitely a big influence for us. Yeah. Like we love how they started out as like, pretty much a country bar band. An all country bar band, and they kind of evolved in their own thing. So that's a big inspiration for us for sure.
Do you guys have any plans to come down for South by? Did you guys submit for it?
We're not coming down this year. No, we'd like to definitely at some point, but yeah, we're not making it down this year, unfortunately.
Is it hard to get out and like you guys play shows out places?
Yeah, where definitely. It's lost in Canada, right across Canada. We've been mostly touring.
All of Canada?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah. Good so far. Like the response has been great. COVID definitely threw a wrench into our plans for sure. So set us back. So we're going to try and, claw back our way and see what happens.
Who's this guy, Joshua Van Tassel?
Oh, Josh is, he produced our upcoming record. He's a drummer by trade, and he does a lot of production work, in Canada. He does his own instrumental, like dance music as well.
Oh, cool.
So he definitely brought another flavor to our stuff. Yeah.
Wow. That's a really, like, that doesn't sound like something that would jive with you guys, but the record sounds great. Like what did he bring? Like as far as like, as a producer, there's always different kinds of, there's guys that put their hands in your songs and rewrite shit, or there's people that just kind of guide you. And then there's people that don't really play instruments that are just like, oh, that doesn't vibe. They're all valid in my,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
What kind of producer was he with you guys? What did you guys need and what did he provide?
I think John, like he wanted to like expand our sound and get a little bit weird. We've only self-produced really in the past, and you can only take that so far. So like bringing in someone who's like, who would bring in, an influence where he's, experimenting sound, and he's also a drummer. So he brought this, whole other rhythmic element to the mix. In terms of like the songwriting, like we definitely do that in-house.
You guys are great. You guys have a really great, like, you guys are a great songwriter together.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One other thing that Josh really pushed that was cool was a live off the floor approach.
Especially with you guys, you should, it's kind of disingenuous to do that for you,
Yeah. Totally. It was cool. I think it was a great idea. I think it captured the energy of the band. It was good.
So you guys play really tightly together. Was there there was a click involved or what was happening? Did you like freestyle off the floor or what?
A couple were definitely free time, but there was,
yeah. We'd mostly start with a click and then just kind of see where it went. Yeah, like Josh would count it in and he'd kind of keep the beat. He'd be our timekeeper for it all.
I always think that's cool because there's an element of modern recording that has records are safely made. You know what I mean? Like before, you go listen to like a Frank Sinatra record or, you guys record, like if this band can do it, they're doing it. And somebody's there, like the art of recording that was then capturing magic. And then now there's the magic element is kind of gone because you're carving out perfection as opposed to capturing the, like letting the thing happen and being like, oh, there it is.
Totally. Yeah. That was one thing that Josh really pushed me. He was like, I'm into like capturing moments. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, you could comb over the whole thing and be like, oh, I'm a little flat there or right, whatever. Right. Or like we jump in here, but it's just like, yeah, but that's what we did. So we captured it. This is the moment. This is the record.
Right. And that those are the kind of things like you wait until the hair on your arm stands up and you're like, oh, that's the one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you can't Pro Tools and auto-tune something into giving you goosebumps.
Totally.
Like that can only come from human beings communicating in real time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. You have to have some kind of chemistry in order to pull it off. And once you make a record where it's just all overdubs, you kind of lose that ability to just show off what you're all about.
Yeah. I wonder if subliminally that's what connected me to your music was just that feeling of like, oh, I feel like I'm there with these guys right now experiencing this as it's happening.
Nice. That's awesome. Great to hear, man.
Be funny if I told you I'm just always on acid too, but I'm not. No, man, I was just walking through my kitchen. I'm like, I'm with them. Villages are inside of me. how much do you guys rehearse? You must rehearse a lot to get that tight and that together, or is that
I wish we did it more.
I guess, you know, I mean, those kind of things are like, I work with this nonprofit here called the Austin Music Foundation in this thing called an artist development program. And we go out and we find 5 to 7 bands every year. And we put them through like 6 months of boot camp, like learning, have a music lawyer come in and meet with them, have song placement people, publishers, social media experts or whatever. And then it ends with us going in and recording, 2 songs in 2 days. And,
that's very cool.
And, it's a cool thing to do. But one thing that I noticed in a lot of bands coming up are different. I'm 54 and I've been in bands since I was 14 years old, like playing shows and living in a van, just doing the thing. And I noticed that one thing is that kids nowadays, and you guys are kids, obviously, in some form, you know, that there's not like a I'm Travis from Villages. I'm like, oh, I'm Travis. I'm in Villages, but then I play in this other band, the Stevenson Jones Rock Experience, and then the psychedelic, you know, pants patches guy. And then like, there's no thing. So it's just, it feels like this, like Villages is this band's only, like, that's what you guys do.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a lot.
Yeah. It's like, it's definitely, it's like, I don't really have any desire to make music with anybody else really. Like I only know making music with these guys, and I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. And I
Jesus.
Don't really. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but it's like, I think, it's just like the camaraderie of it all. And it's just a special thing, that we have for sure. And we like in bands like REM and like U2, where they're like, everything is split equally. Like we're not like a band where it's like, you know, some guy wants, you know, 75% of their writing credits on something. It's like everybody brings, you know, what they can bring, and we split it all up evenly.
You know, it's sad you said those two bands, because those are like, I mean, even the Rolling Stones, it's just two guys from the thing, really.
Yeah. There's not many. There's really not many.
Yeah.
No, but U2 is one of those bands. There's I don't know if you guys remember, but whenever Beautiful Day came out, they were back in U2 form, doing shit people wanted to hear, Delay on guitar, Bono's soaring vocals.
Exactly.
And there was a speech, and I remember feeling really emotional during that speech that I hadn't done what I really wanted to do, which was, when I get to be like 40 years old and I'm on my comeback thing, that you're with these guys that you knew since before you had hair on your balls. You know what I mean? Like, you're like with these guys that you've been through life with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really magical thing.
We feel that. It really is, man. It's like, yeah, we definitely romanticize the idea of the band. It's like something you don't really see these days. And we still believe in it.
What also takes a lot of work to keep those, because it's like, you know, for those of you that are listening, you've heard probably this metaphor a lot of times, but it's like being fucking married to four dudes or five dudes or however many people are in your band.
Try it out.
You have a harem. See how easy it is.
Yeah. It's amazing that we're still as tight as we are. Like a band, like a tour is still a blast. Like we just carry on in the band nonstop, just like we were when we were, 20 or whatever.
That's great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah.
So do you have your own van?
We rent.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Yeah. It's a tough time to be a van renter.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's really expensive. Do you guys have a booking agent or a manager or something? Is someone in charge of your business?
We have a booking agent and a record label who really helps us out, but we're self-managed.
Okay. It seems like you guys seem to be level-headed. You know, you can keep it together. There doesn't have to be some guy intervening a lot. So would you have a different booking agent in America, or is that?
Would like to definitely do that. Yeah. Like our booking agent is Canadian focused. So we'd definitely like to get an American booking agent to start, you know, breaking our way down there.
Have you guys been to Europe?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I think we're going in May.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, just to do some festivals there, yeah.
Great. I saw you guys play some festivals up there too, right? In Canada?
Up in Canada?
Yeah,
we've been hitting some pretty good festivals up here for sure.
You know what I learned recently about Canada and the way that they do their thing? There's like some kind of government thing that a certain percentage of music that's played on the radio needs to be Canadian or has to be Canadian. Am I right?
Can Canadian content. We call CanCon up here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of it's a commercial radio thing where they, like you said, the percentage has to be Canadian. That's more of like a commercial radio thing, which we haven't been lucky enough to hit yet, but.
What kind of is there a radio up there that plays like here? We have college radio here and like independent radio stations. Is that happening in Canada at all?
Yeah, it's not as good as it used to be. And I don't think it's as strong as it is in the States. We have some college radio for sure, but not like specialty channels, especially on the East Coast of Canada. It's pretty grim. So that's a tough part.
How cold does it get up there where you are? Like zero?
It'll feel like minus 30 some days, like on a really cold day in the winter. So I in terms of what you would call that, probably be like zero, I'm guessing. Below zero.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We've already had snow actually this year, so. It's happening. Winter is coming.
Yeah. It's not just a show on HBO. What was the name of that show?
Yeah.
Are you guys into wizard stuff? Like sometimes that Celtic folk music gets into the wizard areas.
I am reading a book about how the occult changed rock and roll. So.
Oh, that's cool. What are you learning in there?
Just that kind of Zeppelin's like massive influence, you know, from the occult and Bowie, and it's interesting.
All those guys.
Our next chat, I'll be wearing a big wizard hat. I'll be fully immersed.
You guys seem way too nice to be like a devil worshipping folk rock band. You know,
like
what
we meet him so we can tell him to chill. You know, we'll get him calm.
Yeah,
calm down.
You know what I heard at the when I very first put your stuff on. And then I saw it in your in your bio is Belle and Sebastian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I hear that.
Yeah.
Cool. You hear that?
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, they're a big influence on us.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, and also Teenage Fan Club. I didn't hear that as much, but I get it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, it's probably in the more like the tightness of the songwriting, like the concise, you know, it's like, we love the pop structure, I guess. We're not really into, we make folk music, but it's definitely more of like the arrangements are definitely pop influenced.
That's a good thing to bring up because that is true. And my sort of response to music happens from my Beatle place. Like I respond to melody and melody. Like I respond to melody. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Us too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel
definitely like you don't.
That's one thing about traditional folk music that you guys are veering from. Cause to me, there's very little accessible melody that gives you chills in folk music so much.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we're definitely coming at it from, like you said, like the melodic pop influence for sure. That's always, if you don't have that, if you don't have a melody, you don't have anything really. So,
yeah. Is there anything you guys are listening to now that's sort of striking your fancy?
What am I listening to?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up my iTunes right now.
You know what? I need to start telling people this because whenever I ask it just off the cuff in a thing, it always people are like, oh, what am I listening to? And you're like, oh, you don't have to.
I personally just recently started dipping into King Crimson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, that's jumping into a boiling pot of something.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. They do not scratch my Beatle itch, that band.
Yeah. I feel it because it's very, I know what you mean, like, because it's being akin to you with like melody first. It's not that, but I'm super interested in like the song structure and the time signatures, which I do find it's almost like sometimes if there's like, there's genres of metal that really reflect or that really kind of seem like a Celtic and trad time signatures to me. Like there's just very,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I get a little bit of that with King Crimson and I just, it's all like, you know, it's interesting. It scratches an itch for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the, oh no, that was a different band. Sorry. That was who was the band that had Trout Mask Replica?
Oh yeah.
Oh, Captain Beefheart.
Captain Beefheart. Yeah, I just had the guy that shot that album cover.
Oh yeah.
Oh, really?
Dude, that was a real fucking fish. Amazing. And this guy was sticking his head in a fucking stinky dead fish.
What?
Yeah.
That's unreal. Oh my god, that's insane. Wow.
Insane. Yeah, it might still be up on my feed. The dude's name is Ed Karaf. He shot so much stuff it'll blow your mind. Like he shot the Jimi Hendrix at Monterey with the Guitar on Fire where he's doing the finger thing.
Oh, wow.
But the one that's in front, that's not incredible. The side one. He's the one that shot it straight on. Yeah, the one that was on the cover of Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Crazy, right?
Amazing. I have to check.
There it is. Yeah.
Trout Mask Replica. And that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was asking him about that thing, I'm like, so what, how did you, how, like, they didn't, you know, that, they weren't using a Photoshop in those days. That was a guy sticking his head into a fish. No, so did I. I was wondering. Wow. That's, yeah, yeah.
wow.
So, I mean, is Prague, I mean, Rush is from Canada. You guys like Rush? Triumph? No Triumph?
Yeah, that never really got into Rush. I watched the Triumph documentary. That was entertaining, but I haven't really listened to it.
Yeah.
Triumph happened here pretty heavily. I mean, they played like the US Festival and stuff, but they
were the massive.
Oh, yeah,
they were massive in America.
Yeah, yeah,
huge. Yeah, very cool. I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I bought two like Allied Forces and some other album that were popular then.
Okay,
like the Young, Wild, and Free music.
Nice.
What about Saga?
Saga.
You know who Saga is?
No.
No.
Man, that's not even in Canada. They're even Canadian.
Fill us in.
Really?
Yeah. They had a song called Another Tonight I'm on the Loose.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that does.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That sounds like a CanCon hit.
Yeah. It had to have been. Can I sing a little bit of it for you?
Please, yeah,
absolutely.
No one can stop us now. Tonight we're on the loose. Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Nice.
Very dramatic.
Like, oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
The way you hit that loose, very Canadian. Yeah, I was like, oh, I've heard that.
Right singer to singer. Yeah, that's Matt and Johnny bonding.
Canadian to the core.
Yeah.
What? Can I ask you guys a question about, like, I live in America and we have a craziness just like going. It's just crazy. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the Kanye West even now.
Yeah. Unfortunate, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like pedal to the metal crazy. He used to be like, I can't drive 55 crazy, but now he's like the speed of light crazy.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
What does that look like to you guys? You guys go like, Jesus. Build a wall.
I mean, like, it's like we had. Yeah. It's. I think it was. I think it was probably worse when Trump was in office. But it's still. I mean, I feel like the whole world is. You know, there's this whole, you know, extreme right thing happening everywhere. It's, you know, we're not immune to it in Canada. That's for sure. We have our own issues for sure.
Do those things make their way into your music at all?
Politics?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
There's another way you're not, like, traditional folk a lot of times is like trying to tell you what the man's trying to do to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So like maybe someday we'll venture into that, but we kind of keep politics out of the jam space.
I don't do it. I don't do it because I feel like I sound really funny. Like I don't, like I'm not Bono when I'm talking about it.
Exactly. It's like,
yeah.
I feel like if Def Leppard tried to get political, that's what I'd, like just the wrong band getting political. Yeah. Or Duran Duran has said something very fucking social.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys, so what else? Like, what do you guys have planned for this record coming out? What are you guys going to do in February? What's the jam?
Play some shows, man. Play as many shows as we can. I think it's still like COVID's really wreaked havoc on the touring industry in terms of, you know, everybody made albums during COVID. So they're all coming out now and, the big cats are eating first for sure. So it's like, it's hard for a little band like us to even play our own country. It's hard, you know, to get a gig, you know, cause all the clubs are booked up, but, yeah, we're just going to be playing as much as we possibly can, play Canada and then hitting Europe in May and we'll see where it goes.
When you guys, do you guys get like, hey, we're going to get together Wednesday and write a song? Or do you guys get together and someone's like, hey, I got an idea?
Yeah, like we kind of like send around demos a lot to each other now and just people add certain things to them and pass them around that way. Then we'll get into jam space and hash them out live.
Do you have a space just dedicated for that?
Yeah, Matt's basement.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah, because you guys have basements. We don't have basements in Texas. Exactly.
Oh damn!
That's right. Something that happens in the North and the Midwest and the Northeast, but like in Texas and Oklahoma and shit, we don't have basements.
Not your thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well,
just never caught on.
Man, I wish I could. I had a good. I think we have enough space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of magic in the basement, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in some basements.
You think it's like how hot it is. It'd be so much cooler in a basement, especially like if you're in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I know that in the South near the coast, which we're not near, there's just not a lot of room before you hit water. Like the reason why all of the graves and and caskets are above ground in New Orleans is because you can't, there's not enough, there's no 6 feet below them.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Matt and I went to New Orleans for a little vacation a while ago, and we were kind of surprised to see all that for sure.
Yeah. Is it hard to travel in between, like going from Canada? Because I know for Americans, it's pretty difficult to get, like they really shake you down to get into Canada. Is it difficult to tour in between the two countries?
Definitely. And it costs a lot of money for a band to,
really?
To get a visa to travel down there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like at least, you know, like 6,000 Canadian for us to get a visa and travel down there.
Okay. Wow, that's a drag. You know, I can't remember the guy's name, but I talked to a guy that was doing concerts during 2020. He started doing like people's like farms and in big yards or something. Do you know who I'm talking about? He was pretty popular. I can't remember his name.
Oh, B.A. Johnston?
No.
That's no?
Close. Hmm. But something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys try and do any of that? Like sort of create your own spaces to
not really, no, we've kind of sticking to the like the theaters and clubs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like where we're at is just kind of like it's very rural, so it's like it's difficult to bring a crowd for sure.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, man, this has been really great talking to you guys. I really love your music, and you have music out already. Is the I didn't write down the name of the single. What's the single that's out now, or that's coming out?
Single.
The first single from the upcoming record is called "Love Will Live On."
Yes. What is that about?
It's just about like the pursuit of a simple life, you know.
Yeah.
Kill the noise.
There's a lot of that in this record. There's a lot of like.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
A lot of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was. I hate like the COVID narrative, but I guess it is unavoidable at some point. We wrote a lot of it during, you know what I mean, because we recorded it in 2021.
Yeah.
Late 2021. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we wrote a lot of it during a pretty, devastating time. And there was a longing for this life that wasn't being currently lived.
Right.
You know, and it was, longing for our island, really, for Cape Breton, and just to be back where we belong.
Yeah. Was it, I mean, I know some places here that were kind of rural, people were okay. Like they might've had a couple of cases, but that people weren't really traveling and people weren't going to these small, like, I don't know if you know, have you ever heard of Marfa?
Oh yeah.
I think they only had like 3 people that had it.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
And it's a little more desolate. It's out away from other places. People are separated,
right.
And it never really got there.
It worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like in Canada, especially there was a lot of people, migrating to our part of the country, like from the center of the country, they're all
sure
coming to the East Coast. And so, yeah, it was kind of a crazy experience in terms of like housing, and there's a major housing crisis going on right now because of this massive inflow of people into our little area.
Well, I hope they don't take away your land, man, because you guys deserve to keep it. Matt and Travis, this has been really great talking to you guys. Please stay in touch, because if you guys ever come down for like South by, I'd love to meet in person, do this here at the place. I've got guitars. We can sit around and play.
That'd be great. Absolutely.
I can teach you the Saga catalog. I don't know one of those songs.
I was gonna bring back Saga. Nice.
Thanks a lot, Johnny. That was
yeah, Johnny.
Yeah,
this
man,
was great.
It was great. I'll let you guys know when this comes out. It'll be actually have a date, but yeah, great talking to you guys. I'll let you know all about that in a second.
Definitely. Thanks, man.
That was Matt and Travis Ellis from the Canadian folk band Villages. Their album, Dark Island, drops February 17th. Go to thebandvillages.com for all of your Villages needs. What a great conversation. Those dudes are really sweet. And I love this song, Love Will Live On. Are you enjoying it? You'll hear the rest of it after I stop talking. Listen, gang, while you're out there checking out thebandvillages.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher. New shows every Tuesday, every Friday. From the Vault series coming out all the time. Get in there, get involved. Do it, do it, do it. Do it, do it. Sorry. I hope you guys have a great weekend, whatever it is you do this weekend. Here's the rest of the song, Love Will Live On, by the band Villages, from their upcoming album, Dark Island, out February 17th. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you do in the weekend. Let's get down.
The end of the light instead, and you said, oh, you and I will find a piece of land, we'll find peace of mind. To heather wild and build a quiet life on an island in the Maritimes. We'll be happy when the winds blow strong and our love will live on. It's next month now, still in the fog somehow. It's the best start we ever had now. To hell with your mom and dad now. This is just the way it is now. I'll push you under the light instead. Peace of mind.